Retirement planning has seen significant changes over the past 20 years, influenced by shifts in the economy, demographics, technology, and regulatory environments. Today, we'll review some of the most significant changes and how they can impact your retirement.
Welcome in to Your Retirement with Sam Jones.
Welcome to Your Retirement. I'm Chuck Caton, along with Sam Doolin and Andy Schooler from Dual Financial Strategies. We have Luke Van Abel out of the office today. He's on assignment. And remember that it's all about your retirement. It is completely constructed for you with the Retirement Lifestyle Review. Remember, there are offices in Green Bay and Appleton, and we're happy to have both Sam and Andy on the show today, as we know that retirement planning has seen significant changes over the last 20 years. So, and they've been influenced, as Sam said before the break, in the economy, the demographics, the technology, and the regulatory environment. So let's talk about 10 notable changes that we see, because nothing endures but change. The more things change, the more sometimes people think it stays the same, but you have to be prepared, right, for change, Sam, and the shift from defined benefits to defined contribution plans. What do we mean by that?
Well, defined benefit was what we used to know as a pension, and those actually started moving away when they passed the act in 1980 that started 401ks, but a defined benefit plan is a pension plan. So that provided a guaranteed income for you in retirement, but that has now largely been replaced by what are called defined contribution plans. And those are your 401ks, your 403bs, your 457s, your things like that. These are the ones that you put money into and then the employer matches, where previously when we used to have pensions, the employer put the money into it, and then they had to guarantee the return on it. They also had to guarantee the benefits on it. So what happened is that shift essentially just placed more responsibility on you to save and invest for your own retirement.
Well, when we look at some of the other changes, Andy, in this environment that we call retirement planning, which you guys do so well here at Dual Financial Strategies, there have been changes over the years in how much you can contribute to various retirement accounts, right?
There have been. So contribution limits for retirement accounts, those are things 401ks, 403bs, 457, IRAs, they have increased over the years. So for example, the 401k contribution limit has risen from $11,000 in 2002 to $23,000 in 2024. So that allows individuals to save more for retirement on a tax advantage basis. Now, I say that sort of loosely, tax advantage, because you're going to pay taxes at some point in time. So there again, it, you know, I think Sam's going to cover something on the Roth, but it's important to understand what that means to you and how much you're saving, and therefore look at taxes later on.
Absolutely true. And of course, for those in the Fox Valley who don't realize, I'm not afraid to show my age. Next year's RMD year. For yours truly. So I know what you're talking about when it comes to deferring taxes over the years with my qualified account. And now I'm going to have to pay the piper. And that's why I do quarterly payments. But you talked, Andy, about Sam introducing Roth 401k. Sam, when did I never had a chance to get a Roth 401k when I was working. When were they introduced?
Well, they were introduced for the possibility of using them in 2006. And so those combine, you know, both the features of 401ks and Roth IRAs and traditional 401ks. So basically, you can put after-tax contributions into an account that will grow tax-free. So any of the withdrawals that you make in retirement are tax-free. It provides a lot more flexibility in retirement planning. However, because of the age segment that we work with primarily at Dual Financial Strategies being focused on retirement, many of you did not get the opportunity to amass as much money into Roth 401ks as what you would like to have. And even though they were introduced in 2006, that doesn't mean that your employer necessarily took that.
But I was going to say, it seemed like a lot of companies were slow to update.
Very slow. Yeah.
Roth 401ks.
It's just an and another administrative thing that companies had to do. And so a lot of them didn't do it. But if you do have that opportunity to put money into a Roth 401k, it's certainly worth consideration, because that does allow that that retirement money of yours to grow for tax-free withdrawals later on.
We're talking with Sam and Andy about changes over the years in some retirement planning instruments, and automatic enrollment and escalation features have changed over the years too, right, Andy?
They have. So many employers have adopted these automatic enrollments for 401k plans, which automatically enrolls you unless you opt out. And additionally, automatic escalation features increase employee contributions over time. So that can really help to boost your retirement savings if you so choose to participate in that. And oftentimes it's great to sit down and talk to someone like us, where we can give you some insight on, does it make sense for you to keep contributing? If there's a Roth option, maybe it's better to go that direction. Again, this, you have to look at retirement with a calculator. You have to look at it from a tax perspective. And let's face it, I mean, tax law is probably going to change. Come 2025, this current tax law is going to sunset. So we have to take that into account. If it goes back to what it was in 2017 when that got changed, your brackets are going to narrow, your percentages are going to increase again, and so therefore it's going to cost you more money to pull money out of your 401ks unless it's a Roth. So go into that with the mindset of it's good to have a plan and have a focus on how you're going to take money out of those accounts, because you need to do it systematically. And you need to look at it. If you're planning on retiring before age 65, having a traditional IRA and taking money from that is going to also affect how much you pay on your health insurance. So just make sure that you understand the ramifications as you're moving into retirement.
Absolutely. All right, let's talk a little bit about health savings accounts, because I, Sam, had never heard of those until I started doing this show with you.
Well, and you know, this is something, Chuck, that most people don't think about as a retirement account, but it absolutely is a retirement account. We advocate strongly that in the last few years of retirement, if you've built up enough money in your 401ks, which many of you have, you've simply created a tax challenge for yourself later on. So we advocate strongly in the last few years to really maximize the potential of and maximize the funding of both health savings accounts, Roth IRAs, and cash, because these are three things that are going to be very beneficial to you in the early years of retirement. But basically, a Roth savings account, it's just an account that you put money into, and then you can withdraw from that for medically related expenses. But the beauty of a Roth savings account is it's essentially triple tax-free. The contributions that you put into it are tax-deductible. Or if you're having it withdrawn from a paycheck, there is no taxes on that money. The earnings on that money grow tax-free. And then as long as you're using it for qualified medical expenses, any withdrawals from that are tax-free as well. And after the age of 65, Chuck, it's little known that you can use these funds for non-medical expenses without penalties. They could be taxed as income, but they could be used for non-medical expenses after the age of 65. So HSA, it is never talked about. It is not used nearly as much as it could be. But we would argue at Dual Financial Strategies that it is probably one of the best little-known retirement savings vehicles that you could possibly use in today's world.
Well, that's why they should be calling you now, because there's a lot of things that people are not aware of. 866-203-7486 is the number. We'll amplify on that a little bit later on. I know we only have about 3 or 4 minutes to talk about more changes here, but the one that affected me, as I said earlier, or will affect me, is the changes, Andy, in minimum distributions, the age differential.
Yeah, so RMDs, or required minimum distribution, has changed considerably. Now, up till 2019, at the stroke of midnight, basically, when they passed the SECURE Act, they went from having your RMD age at 70 and a half, and they raised that to 72. And then they further, with the SECURE Act 2.0, went up to 73. So now, if you haven't started your required minimum distributions, you don't need to start them until you turn 73. So it is important to understand these numbers, because obviously, if you're taking money out before that, you may not have to, and that could lead to additional taxation that you may or may not be planning on. So there can be thought processes about taking money out preemptively from a qualified plan if it makes sense to go against your taxes. So maybe you're pulling out more money than what you need to, but it could be at a lower tax rate. So there again, it's important to talk to somebody who focuses in on retirement specifically, you don't want to work with someone who's a, you know, jack of all trades and a master of none in this situation. You need to get this right. You only get to retire one time.
Absolutely true. All right, we're going to skip a couple here because we're going to go to Social Security changes here. Because yeah. What have been some of those, Sam, that people shouldn't know and really digest?
Well, probably the two biggest ones have been that gradual increase in the full retirement age, which for most people at this point in time that haven't retired, it's going to be either 66 or 67 years old. It just depends upon what year you were born. Folks, if you don't know what that is, it's real simple. Just establish your Social Security account. You just go to hard to say three W's in a row, .ssa.gov. And then you can put in /my account. So ssa.gov/my account. You can set up your own Social Security web portal there. All of your information is there. All of the information on what your benefits will be, what your full retirement age would be, how much you can draw at certain ages. Your history of Social Security deposits will be in there for your earnings history. Great information. You can also apply for Social Security online. But the biggest ones is the gradual increase of that full retirement age and then cost of living adjustment increases. So these have impacted retirement planning strategies. Social Security is something we'll talk about when you come in and visit with us. But get that account established. You can print off the statements that you used to get in the mail. And it's a great resource for you.
Absolutely. And quickly, Andy, we're living longer, so you better plan for it, right? That's a big change. People's life expectancy going up seemingly every year.
Yes, it has. From a standpoint of the medical community's job is to keep you alive as long as possible. And you have to think about that and you have to factor that in. How many of you have aging parents that are well into their 80s and maybe into their 90s? And beyond. This is a major problem that we've got to plan for when we're looking at retirement, because it's not like you're going to live 5 years. You know, when Social Security was really put in place, people were scheduled to start taking out money by 65, and the life expectancy was somewhere around 67 to 69. And that's only 4 years on Social Security at that point in time. Now we're living for 10, 15, 20, 30 years on Social Security, and that's a factor.
Absolutely true. And this is why you should be engaging with Dual Financial Strategies, because they've got over 24 years of experience here helping people of the Fox Valley through retirement. 866-203-7486 is the number. That's 866-203-7486. And get that retirement lifestyle review. And remember, the most important thing, you can visit with them no cost, no obligation, in either their Appleton office or their Green Bay office. Dual Financial Strategies. What's happening in the next segment, Sam?
Next segment, Chuck, is annuities. And annuities can provide a reliable income stream in retirement. They can help mimic your regular paycheck, or they can help defer money that would otherwise be taxed. Anything you want inside of your retirement years can be mimicked with an annuity. Could it be right for you? We'll break it down right after this.
We are back here on Your Retirement with Sam Dual and Andy Schooler from Dual Financial Strategies. My name's Chuck Caton. And remember, you can get that lifestyle review, that retirement lifestyle review from Sam, Andy, or Luke. And we could mention, of course, that Luke Van Abel is on assignment here. And 866-203-7486 is the number. So, as you know, creating a retirement paycheck using annuities in 2024 involves several steps. Now, here's a comprehensive guide that Sam and Andy will give you to help you set up your retirement paycheck using annuities. First of all, Sam, one must understand what they are.
That's true. And Chuck, I don't believe that there is any more misunderstood and misaligned savings tool in retirement today. And annuities are something, I don't know why there's such a visceral reaction to them. Again, they're nothing more than a tool. But it always seems like people either love annuities or they hate annuities. And the interesting thing over the years, after doing this almost a quarter of a century, is that I typically find that the reason that people hate annuities is because of something that happened in the past to a great grandfather or something, and absolutely doesn't even remotely reflect what annuities are capable of today. But basically, there's four, well, essentially, there's five different kinds of annuities. There are immediate annuities. That's just one that provides payments to you immediately after you deposit a lump sum. Social Security is an immediate annuity. As soon as you turn it on, it begins paying you an income for life. It's just that instead of the payments coming from an insurance company, like a traditional annuity, it's going to come from the federal government. If you win the lottery and you elect lifetime payments, that is an immediate annuity. You deposited a lump sum in there from the lottery winnings, you're now going to get a payment for life. That's immediate. You can also do deferred annuities. That's where you put your money into it, and then you're going to start taking money out at some future date that's to be determined later on, and that allows your money that you put into it to grow over time, and if it is non-IRA money, it will grow tax deferred. Then there's something called fixed annuities. Fixed annuity is kind of like a CD on steroids. It's just going to offer you guaranteed payments, or it's going to offer you a guaranteed interest rate for a guaranteed specific amount of time. That's a fixed annuity. Sometimes they will call these a multi-year guarantee annuity. Then there's variable annuities. In our opinion, variable annuities is what's given annuities a bad name because these are sold as something very, very often by advisors that they are not. But they will offer you performance of growth within that annuity based upon underlying investments. But in reality, all that is an insurance company that has used mutual funds as an investment tool, and it offers you no better benefit than that whatsoever, and you can lose money in variable annuities. It's the only class of annuity where you can suffer a loss and start and end up with less than you started out with. And then there's also called indexed annuities. These annuities are also tied to a stock market index for performance. However, the difference between them and variable annuities is that the insurance company accepts the underlying market risk. You do not suffer any losses with one of these. You will participate in the gains up to predetermined levels. However, you will not suffer losses. So understanding what an annuity is gives you a really good basis for determining, is it right for you?
Absolutely. And Andy, assessing your own financial needs really kind of leads you to one of these when they talk to you.
Well, potentially, yes. So, I mean, things that you're going to want to look at is, what was your cost of living prior to going into retirement? What is your cost of living in retirement? And are you having, is your mortgage paid off? Are your cars paid off? Or are there big expenses like your roof needs to be replaced? Those are all part of the budgeting requirements that we talk about going into retirement, because those are things you have to plan for. Are you planning on getting a new car? How are you going to pay for that? Is it going to come out of your investments? Are you going to make payments? You know, these are all part of the questions of budgeting. And I know it's not fun, it's not glamorous, but it is really, really important to determine whether there's an income gap for you. And that's something we talk about often. You have to look at Social Security. When are you turning that on? Do you have a spouse that's younger than you? Are you trying to maximize those payments? You have to look at whether or not you have a pension or not. Those are sort of a thing of the past. So unless you work for government or a school system or, healthcare used to be very common for those type of pensions. They aren't as much anymore. They're putting more and more of the burden on you. So we have to look at the different sources of income you have. And of course, that's going to trigger income taxes. So how are we going to pay the income taxes? How much is that going to be? Is there a way that we can plan for the taxes in a more efficient manner? And then that will help identify if there's actually an income gap and or how much pressure you need to put on your performance side of things to make up for an income gap. So you might need to have something like an annuity to fill that in if there is a difference between what you have coming in and what you need to pay your monthly your monthly expenses. So just look at the whole picture.
And Sam, I'm sure you can help, and this is what your job is, and Andy's as well, choosing the right annuity. I walk in, how do I know what to buy?
That's exactly one of the things that we do. And we don't have a bias one way or the other necessarily. It's just, what do you need? Do you need an immediate annuity? If you need income right now and you need that paycheck, and if the rates are competitive, well, then maybe an immediate annuity is right for you. Do you need a deferred annuity? Are we just trying to do something with this money so that you're going to want to access it at some point in the future? Well, then you'd do a deferred annuity for that. And we do find, Chuck, that probably 99.9% of all annuities that are used in our planning are deferred annuities. Most people are just trying to protect money when they're using an annuity. And then it comes to the conversation of, well, what are you trying to achieve here? Are you trying to protect your money and you're not as concerned about massive amounts of growth? Or are you worried about growth and you're not concerned about losing your money and you're okay with paying what could be relatively exorbitant fees? Well, then you choose between a variable annuity or an indexed annuity. Variable annuity is going to give you probably more upside potential. You also have to accept the downside and loss potential with that. And you're going to have significant fees inside of something like that. If you're not looking for that and you just want protection of your funds, then you're probably going to opt for something more like an indexed annuity.
Absolutely. And Andy, I guess when you see somebody come into the office, they'll say to you, well, should I put all my money into an annuity?
No.
No.
It's not appropriate for all of your money. It cuts down on your liquidity. You need to have money in different places. And so that is a huge issue. The insurance companies won't allow you to put all of your money into annuities because they look at your liquidity. They look at where you have your other dollars and cents and how much your net worth is, et cetera, et cetera. So it's never a place for all of your money. If someone is trying to get you to put as much money as possible into an annuity, they're just trying to get a bigger commission. So it doesn't necessarily mean that it is appropriate and what you need to do with your money. I mean, that's what Sam's book is all about. Purpose determines placement. How much, where does it need to go? What do you need your money to do for you? That's going to dictate a lot of what you're going to do for planning in the future. So no, it is not a place to put all of your money. There are other tools that are available that you can go across the board and have liquidity and have, you know, some money that might be in the bank or a bank CD. So it's more liquid, have some in an annuity that, you know, whatever the job of that annuity is going to be, whether it's just deferral of taxation, whether it's create an income, I don't know. So I would definitely argue with anyone that it's not an appropriate place for all of your money.
All right. So what about it, Sam? I walk in, your customer walks in, your client walks in and says, shop the best annuity for me. What am I looking for?
Several different things. You're looking for an insurance company that has very strong financial ratings, and there's a thing in the world called the reserve capacity of an insurance company. That's what you're really looking for. Most of the companies that have high financial ratings will also have very good reserve capacity. Be really aware of fees. So what I was saying is that the one downfall of variable annuities that people don't realize, and it seems to me like it never gets disclosed to them, is how extraordinarily high the fees can be in there. Administrative fees, mortality and risk expense charges, investment management fees, rider fees. Chuck, we've seen people walk in our front door with variable annuities before that had fees in excess of 5%. And it's not uncommon at all for them to be in the 2 to 2.5% range. It's extraordinary. Be aware of the fees. Be aware of features and riders. Do you need these riders? Do you need these guaranteed benefit riders that are being stacked on top of these annuities? We see that all of the time too, where it's loaded up with all sorts of riders that you have absolutely no use for. You will never, ever utilize them. And they will simply be a drag on performance and money out of your pocket. And Chuck, we found the best way to not have that happen is to actually work with a real financial advisor. Folks, let me tell you something. If somebody is buying you a free meal, if you're getting a free steak out of this deal, if you're getting a free chicken dinner out of this deal, you're going to get pitched an annuity, period. It's not like it might happen. It's not like there's a chance it's happening. If you just got a free steak out of this, you're getting pitched an annuity. That's what those events are designed to do, is to get you to come into their office so that they can sell you an annuity. You do not want to be sold an annuity. You want it to be a comprehensive part of a holistic, all-encompassing financial plan, not a one-stop shop, not a one-trick pony, a real live financial advisor who's working under a fiduciary status, who can give you professional guidance, who can give you tax consideration guidance, and somebody that's not just looking there to pitch you. That is the downfall of annuities today, and it's the reason they've gotten a bad name, is because they are constantly sold. And if you feel like someone is trying to sell you that product, you need to run, not walk away from that. And like I said, if they bought you a steak, you're getting pitched an annuity. You may as well get ready for it.
All right. And you can have it medium rare and then walk away.
I guess.
The left bank used to say, walk away, Renee. That's all you have to do. Well, you don't want to walk away from Dual Financial Strategies, that's for sure, because they can help you through this maze of education that you're going to need when it comes to purchasing an annuity for your retirement. And all you have to do, and that's part of the retirement lifestyle review that they will provide at Dual Financial Strategies, with close to a quarter of a century of experience helping you in the Fox Valley. They've got a Green Bay office. They've got an Appleton office. And again, the best part is when you meet with them, no cost, no obligation to sit down and assess your retirement. That's what this show's all about. 866-203-7486 is the number. That's 866-203-7486. Don't procrastinate. Make that phone call right now. Well, what's going to happen in the next segment, Sam?
Oh, Chuck, these doggone interest rates. We're going to talk about those some more. The Federal Reserve, they continue to discuss rate cuts, and they also continue to discuss potential rate hikes. So we don't know. But let's talk about how this impact could affect you if you're retiring in 2024. We've got some details and a guest for you just ahead.
Welcome back to Your Retirement. I'm Chuck Caton, and I'm sitting in the studio with Sam Duell and Andy Schooler from Duell Financial Strategies. Luke Van Abel, normally on this show, is off this week. And remember that they can provide you with that retirement lifestyle review. We just talked about annuities. Now we're going to talk about the Federal Reserve, and remember that they've got offices in Appleton and Green Bay. So where you're listening to us anywhere here in the Fox Valley, you can rest assured that Duell Financial Strategies can help you as fiduciaries. And remember, we sometimes have to redefine that term. That means they have your best interest in mind ahead of theirs. It's 866-203-7486. Well, as Sam says, we're going to have a little guest here to give us a couple things regarding the Fed and interest rate changes, which continue to have an effect on the market, as we've seen. We've seen some wild swings in the past week or two. But Minneapolis Federal Reserve President Neil Kashkari told CNBC this week that the Federal Reserve should wait for significant progress on inflation before cutting interest rates. The question is, can you rule out a rate hike?
Many more months of positive inflation data, I think, to give me confidence that it's appropriate to dial back. You know, the U.S. economy has remained remarkably resilient. GDP growth has been strong, much stronger than forecast. Most people thought that we'd be in a recession toward the end of last year. That didn't happen. Instead, we had very strong growth. U.S. consumers have remained remarkably resilient. The housing market has remained resilient. So I'm not seeing the need to hurry and do rate cuts. I think we should take our time and get it right.
All right. What do you think about that, Sam? Is Kashkari on the mark here?
Yeah, no, I agree with him. Everybody wants to get rate cuts. The market is just breathlessly anticipating rate cuts. But yeah, we do need to get some things under control. And you know, right now we've just got such a, you know, people are just breathless about the interest rates, but interest rates from a historical fashion are not high. We are not in a high interest rate environment. We haven't been. It's just that we're not used to it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we are compared to the last 20
years.
Because,
yeah, it's been all no interest rates, negative interest rates for so long, way too long. that was the biggest mistake that the Federal Reserve made, was by not raising interest rates before they did. But no, I do agree with him. We need to see some stabilization in inflation. But however, we're not in inflation because of what consumers are doing, Chuck. And the inflation that we're seeing right now has absolutely nothing to do with what consumers are doing. And it has everything to do with what the federal government is doing.
Yeah,
so until they quit spending money like a bunch of lunatics
and printing
and
money,
proposing money and printing money, inflation is not going to ease. This is a government problem. This is not a gross domestic product problem. This is not a consumer problem.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about it. I just wonder about some of the lack of expertise. I'll be very kind that the White House has surrounded itself with in regards to this, because I remember the days of 11, 12% mortgage rates, inflation rates of 7 and 8%. I'm going back about 42, 43 years ago now. Yeah. So you're right. I mean, a lot of people in this day and age are just woeing the fact that, oh, these interest rates are so high. But again, it's a manufactured situation. You're absolutely right about that. Well, let's talk about this now, Andy. What does Kashkari think it'll take to get things moving in the right direction?
No, I don't think anybody I don't think we should rule anything out at this point. We are all committed to getting inflation all the way back down to our 2% target. The most recent inflation print that we got on the CPI data was marginally better than the earlier prints from the first 3 months, but still not where we need it to get to. So it wasn't getting worse, but we just need to wait and see. I think we're right now we're in a good position because the labor market remains strong in the U.S., so we have the luxury of being able to sit here until we gain confidence on where inflation is headed.
All right, Kashkari says that that's wonderful. Andy, what do you think, your reaction to that statement? I thought you'd say that.
I don't know that I would go wonderful about any of this. I mean, when I look at just businesses, right, and jobs, there's so many businesses that are looking for people to hire. So for them to say, oh, the jobs market is great, wonderful, whatever, I think that's a little bit of a crock personally. But that's just that's me. So I don't know that I would fully agree with him as far as that goes. Yes, there's more discussion coming out. Yes, they're, you know, holding. They seem to do a really good job of holding in place and either not doing anything or continuing down the same path of overspending and sending money to other countries that don't need it, and putting us further in debt. So I do worry about that. I look at all of those things and I struggle with the fact that they just can't seem to stop spending and stop printing money. I think that's, as Sam said, you know, the biggest issue that we have going on right now.
Well, and the other challenge that's happening right now, Chuck, is that the Federal Reserve continues to run off of this premise that they can actually have some effect or influence on inflation via interest rates, and they can't. The Federal Reserve is hopelessly outdated. They've been outdated for probably two decades. Mm-hmm. They have zero influence, and they are a bunch of people who are they're simply cranial folks who are highly educated. And they still believe that they can actually control and manipulate inflationary numbers, and they can't. The economy has grown way beyond what the Federal Reserve can control. The government has gone way beyond what the Federal Reserve can control, and they literally are nothing more than a mouthpiece for politicians at this point in time. And please make no mistake about this, folks. The Federal Reserve is the most highly partisan organization that there is on the face of the planet today. Let me tell you when interest rates are going to get cut. I can tell you just exactly the day when they're going to get cut. When the Federal Reserve realizes that Joe Biden is in danger of losing the presidential election, interest rates are going to get cut. Yeah. That's it in a nutshell. That's exactly the day it's going to happen.
Well, why did they release all the fuel barrels? It's like
it's a game. It's a this game. Whole interest rate totally thing is a game. And it's a game that is completely partisan on the Democrat side right now. I don't care what your political affiliation is with folks. This is just the truth. And if you don't like it, that's too bad. It's the way that it is. But when the Federal Reserve sees that Joe Biden is in danger of losing the election and that Donald Trump is in favor of winning it, then you're going to see interest rate cuts, because then the Democratic Party can take credit for those cuts. Yeah. That's just how the world works.
Absolutely true. And then, of course, Wisconsin is a key state. It's a battleground state in phase of November 5th, as you're talking about. All right, let's talk about now, what does the European Central Bank have to do with this here? Is that something that they're considering, maybe lowering rates? And how would that affect the United States?
Well, it's really interesting because the Federal Reserve, again, that's why you can, this is another clue. If you're looking for clues, that you can tell that this is highly partisan and has absolutely nothing to do for the benefit of the person working at P&G and how they're getting hammered by inflation. Folks, this doesn't have anything to do with you. This has to do entirely with politics, because usually the Federal Reserve has led the charge worldwide on these types of matters. But they have become increasingly what we call hawkish. They're sitting on their fingers. They don't know what to do. They've painted themselves into a corner. This is a problem all of their making. But the European Central Bank right now is expected to lower interest rates before the Federal Reserve does. And two key European Central Bank figures that were recently released, supported a June rate cut. So it's anticipated, never guaranteed, but it is highly anticipated that the European Central Bank will likely start to cut rates in June. And it's also broadly expected that the Bank of England will cut rates this summer. So what that does is that now forces the Federal Reserve's hand, regardless of what they want to do, because how can they possibly save any face if the European countries are cutting interest rates? Because the European countries, in some cases, their economies are worse than ours are, but not by a great stretch if you look at the reality of the way that people are living. So we believe that the Federal Reserve has now fallen into a secondary position. Again, just more indication of how ineffective and how unnecessary they really are. But we believe that they've now fallen into a secondary position where, rather than being quote unquote blamed for something, because remember, this is about politics, they're going to follow the lead of what the folks across the big pond do. And then that way they can have some sort of justification. So look for a lot of talk. Look for a lot of nonsense. Look for a lot of acronym-laden blather that will come from guys like Kashkari and Powell and all of those. They're just going to continue to just babble about things that are completely nonsensical and that the average person just shakes their head at and say, I have absolutely no idea what they just said.
Neither do they.
And yeah, in
you mean they
cases,
are related to Kamala Harris? Oh, excuse me.
So just watch what they're doing. Watch what's happening with the Bank of England, with the European Central Bank, and you're probably going to get a better idea of what direction interest rates are going to go by looking at what they're doing on the other side than you are by what Jerome Powell is babbling about incessantly.
All right. So all of this affects people here in the Fox Valley. So what can you do, Sam, for them?
Well, keep them apprised, I think, is the biggest thing. Chuck, I think that's one of the biggest things that people really comment on when they come in and they visit with us is that we get two comments. The first comment is, you know, you're talking about all the things that our advisor never has. Whether it be inflation, whether it be the state of the world, whether it be the economy, taxes, all of those sorts of things. It's like we either are talking about and are knowledgeable of and are paying attention to the things that other advisors don't, or we just happen to know more than they do. We used to say many years ago that we're just doing all the things that other advisors forget to do or other advisors simply don't know how to do. But how in the world in 2024, folks, could you possibly plan a retirement based with an advisor who keeps no eye on what's going on in the outside worlds? This is not a central economy anymore. The United States does not operate in a vacuum anymore. It is a worldwide economy. Whatever happens on the other side of the world, somebody sneezes on the other side of the world, it affects us. If you don't have a financial advisory firm that, number one, is focused on your retirement, that, number two, understands taxes and tax ramifications, and that, number three, is actually awake from the neck up and is paying attention to what's going on in the world around you, you have a very good chance of getting your brains blown out in retirement. Because the one thing you got to be doing today is paying attention. And that's the one thing that we do is pay attention. And we're situationally aware of what's going on. And we're going to plan. And we're going to move. And we're going to pivot. And we're going to change based upon what needs to be done at that point in time.
That's why you should call 866-203-7486. That's how you reach Sam Duell and Andy Schooler at the Duell Financial Strategies. It's 866-203-7486. That's 866-203-7486. Remember that they've got offices in Green Bay and in Appleton. Well, it's been a great show so far, but there's one more segment.
There is, and it's a segment that we get probably the most comments of on anything we do, and that is questions and answers. So the questions are coming, and so are the answers. We'll be right back.
Financial Strategies, Your Retirement. That's the name of the program. I'm Chuck Caton, along with Andy Schooler and Sam Duell of Duell Financial Strategies, where it is all about your retirement from their offices in Appleton and Green Bay. 866-203-7486. And if we have some time, and I think we will, I think you're going to have to amplify, Sam, on your book, which I believe is in its third printing now, Purpose Determines Placement. You can explain that later on, but I know that you and Andy are going to field at least three questions here on this show.
Yes, sir.
All righty, let's go to Oliver in Green Bay then. And he wants to know from you, Sam, would it ever make sense to pay off a mortgage with a Roth IRA? And would you please explain a couple of scenarios where it would not make sense and if possible, when it could?
That's a good question, Oliver. And I would say that we probably get equal to or more questions about paying off mortgages pre-retirement or in retirement than anything else. That's always a big one. And it's basically, it's because people have a very emotional attachment about mortgages. Most people do not want to go into retirement with a mortgage. And if you don't have to, that's a great thing. But when does it make sense? And regardless of the source of the money, when does it make sense? The first thing that I would say, Oliver, is when it wouldn't make sense would be if you're making more return in the Roth IRA than what you're paying for the mortgage. So let's say that you did a refi on your mortgage here when interest rates were super low and you got a mortgage and you're at 2.85%. Some of you are lower than that. I think we did a refinance at one point and I think we were like 2.3 or something like that. So if you're in that mid-ish 2% range, but markets have been relatively good. Fixed interest rates are pretty good. You can buy some pretty good CDs and things like that today. If you're making significantly more in your savings tool or your investment than what it's costing you to own the mortgage, well, then it makes no sense whatsoever to pay that off. Why would you do that? Why would you give up money that you're making 5% on to pay off a mortgage that's costing you 2.5%? When you do that, folks, what you're enjoying there and what you are participating in is exactly what banks do with your money. It's called arbitrage. You have positive arbitrage. When a bank takes your money into a checking account and pays you 0.25% on it.
Maybe.
That money is not just tied up in a neat little bow that says Joe and Mary's $50,000 and put in the corner of the vault forever to never be touched until you come back for it. That money's out on a 6% home loan. It's out on an 8% motorcycle loan. It's out on a 28% high interest credit card. That money is being utilized. They pay you a lower amount than what they're going to loan it out at. That's how they make money. So you just have to think like the institutions do. Think like a bank does. Where can I make the most money at? If I'm making more money in my investments than it's costing me to have that mortgage, then keep the mortgage. You have positive arbitrage. So that would be one scenario when it wouldn't make any sense. The other scenario where it wouldn't make any sense is if you have need for tax-free money later on. I mean, why would you use a Roth IRA? Why would you deplete it today if we think we might be able to take advantage of tax-free money later on? Here's a great example for you. Let's say that you're going to retire pre-65, Oliver.
I was just going to say that.
And you're going to need to cover health insurance costs.
Yep.
Well, one of the beauties of the Affordable Care Act, of Obamacare, is that when you're trying to keep your income within certain limitations in order to qualify for Obamacare subsidies, any extraction from a Roth IRA is not counted towards that total. So you can use Roth IRA money to supplement your income before you get to age 65 and not be penalized on health care at the same time. Now, let's say that none of those situations apply. When might it make some sense? Well, it might make some sense if you were going to pay that mortgage off, if it made sense to pay that mortgage off, and in doing so, you were going to move to another tax bracket. So let's say that you were going to pay the mortgage off. We decided that that wasn't your best interest, that it was a good monetary move for you. However, in order to do that, it would move you from a 12% tax bracket to a 22% tax bracket. Well, then it might make sense to deploy some of that Roth IRA money in order to keep from doing bracket creep, in order to keep from jumping up to that next bracket. Because all of a sudden, if you do that, now it's cost you 10% more to pay off that mortgage than it would have to begin with. So, Oliver, it's a great question. I'm sorry I got so deep into the weeds and convoluted on it, but unfortunately, that is a question for all of you. If you're considering paying off a mortgage in retirement, you need to be thinking about all of those points and more. That's why we always invite you into the office, because it's not as simple as a yes or a no.
866-203-7486. Make that appointment to meet with Sam or Andy there. All right, Andy, Glenn from Appleton wants to know, will drawing from my IRA count toward total income that I'm allowed to make while receiving Social Security?
Short answer, no, it doesn't actually affect you. It's not earned income. So you're not getting a 1099 or a W-2 at the end of the year. So if you worked part time, then you are limited to how much you can make before it affects your Social Security. So it's important to know these little nuances and talk to somebody who specializes in retirement specifically to make sure that you're covering the basis. So there are lots of little gotchas that if you're a high income earner, that can affect you regarding IRMA, which is taxation issues, and then Medicare. There are
Social Security.
Social Security, yeah. And so really you have to go into this working with somebody who knows and understands these little nuances that come up in retirement, because you want to make sure you get this right and you don't have any surprises, because that's never a good idea when it comes to your retirement finances, or taxation for that matter. And so spending some time and really sitting down and hammering out the details and making sure you understand, where's your income going to come from? How is that going to affect you on a taxation basis? Like Sam was going into with Oliver, there is not necessarily an easy cut and dry way to...
Seldom is.
Yeah, I mean...
There's seldom just an answer. To
this is a, you know...
It all depends.
Multiple thousand piece jigsaw puzzle.
It's a puzzle.
It is a huge puzzle, and the picture is different for everyone. So you have to make sure that you are working with someone who knows understands the complexities and knows and understands your situation. And it's different for everybody, always.
Right. And you have to remember, folks, on Social Security, what Andy said there. Always remember, if you're going to work and you're drawing Social Security before full retirement age, the secret to that, the key, is earned income. Did you get this money from a job?
Right.
If you did not get this money from a job, then it doesn't count towards those limitations. So earned income is always the key to that.
And I think that you also heard, ladies and gentlemen, Sam say, if you are not at full retirement age, if you are at full retirement age, none of this matters.
It doesn't matter.
Correct.
Yeah,
absolutely.
If you're full retirement age, it's a moot point. It's so crazy, Chuck. It makes no sense, because if you're under full retirement age, it's like they don't want you to work and make any money.
Yeah.
When you're in your prime earning years, right?
Right.
But if you're over full retirement age, where you probably don't be working anyway, well, then they say, well, you can make all the money you want to. It's just, it's typical.
It's typical government.
Bureaucratic mishmash nonsense.
Doesn't make sense.
Absolutely no sense.
No, I know. And I'm a kind of a product of it, because I'm way over full retirement age, and I'm contemplating going back into the National Hockey League, believe it or not.
Yeah, you can,
anyway,
absolutely. Yeah.
So, I mean, all right, let's go. You've got this one here, Sam, I think, to wrap things up. David is in Sherwood, and he's 63. He got an inheritance of about $200,000. He's got $15,000 in credit card debt and $50,000 left on his mortgage. So he says, could I become debt-free? I could become debt-free, I should say, and still have about $135,000 left to invest, or I could invest all of it, just continue paying off the debts over the next few years. So what do you suggest I do?
Well, again, that's one of those, David, unfortunately, doesn't have a pat answer to it. You know, the credit card debt's probably a pretty simple one. That one's most likely yes, because in most situations, that credit card interest is going to be higher than what you could possibly make in any type of a reasonable investment. So the credit card debt, probably definitely a yes. The mortgage, it all depends. How much is your interest rate on that, whether it makes sense on paying it off or not. And then just remember, when you're talking about investing all of it and then you just continue to paying off the debts over the next few years, that depends also on where you're going to invest it at. Because you got to remember, David, you could also invest that money into the market, and you started out with $200,000, and in a few years, you could end up with $100,000. So diligence, a lot of thought, a lot of planning is what goes into place on all of these things, and that's what we do every day. That's what we talk about every day. And Chuck, I know you mentioned earlier the book, Purpose Determines Placement.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah, we are in the third printing of that right now. We love to get copies of that into people's hands because we find it to be so helpful for them. It's simply a little educational guide that every comment we get on it is that, Sam, it was so easy to read. It was written in English. It wasn't written in broker speak. We really understood what you were talking about. But folks, it is very comprehensive. It's an easy to read book, but there's a lot of information in it, and it's named that for a specific reason. We named it Purpose Determines Placement because our observation through the years in working with so many thousands of you that we've been fortunate enough to deal with is that many of you work your entire lives. You build up your assets, you build up your home, you build up your retirement savings accounts, but then that money part of it becomes pushed into the back part of your life. Many of you are afraid of the money when you retire because you've just been spending it or just been saving it. You don't really know how to spend it. And the money then at that point in time has no purpose. And you don't ever give the money a job. And then all of a sudden you go to a free chicken dinner or a free steak dinner and you get talked into doing something that you should not have done to begin with. And the reason why is because you never sat down and talked with somebody that had purpose themselves. So why does purpose determine placement? Because everything has to have a specific job, Everything should have a specific purpose. You need to think about your retirement in terms of that. What is your purpose in retirement? What are you hoping to achieve? What's your retirement lifestyle going to look like? What is on your bucket list? That's a great place to start. It's where we'll start when we sit down for a retirement lifestyle review. What do you want to do? What do you want your retirement to look like? Because that's going to help determine, what are we funding here? What exactly are you paying for in retirement? Then from that point, now we've determined what your purpose is. We determined what the purpose of the money is. Now we have to get into the next step of this and determine, okay, what parts of the money are going to work to cover these different jobs? How much of it do we need for pure income? How much of it do you need for vacations? How much of it do you need to help the kids out with? How much of it do you need for legacy purposes? So on and so forth. Purpose determines placement always. It's the title of the book. Love to get a copy of it in your hands. Chuck's going to give you all the information for how to get a hold of us. Visit us in Appleton. Visit us in Green Bay. But please take time to pick up that phone, give us a call, and let's get you on the road to the retirement lifestyle you've dreamed of, because it is, in fact, your retirement.
866-203-7486 is the number. That's 866-203-7486. That's the easy way to get a hold of Sam, Andy, or Luke at Dual Financial Strategies, because it is all about your retirement. Once again, 866-203-7486, and you'll learn all about what it means to put purpose determining placement when it comes to your retirement. Sam, it's been a great show. Your final thoughts?
Just appreciate everybody tuning in. Chuck, thanks for being here, and let us know what position you're going to play when you go back to the NHL.
Okay. I might be I won't be a goalie, that's for sure.
Yeah, I wouldn't be either. I don't want something that hard coming at me that fast.
All righty. Well, ladies and gentlemen, have a great week, and you too, Sam and Andy, and we'll check with all of you next week.
Investment advisory services offered through Dual Financial Strategies, LLC, a Wisconsin registered investment advisor. Dual Financial Strategies does not provide legal or tax advice. Investment advisor representatives of Dual Financial Strategies may only conduct business with residents of the states and jurisdictions in which they are properly registered. Insurance and annuity products are sold through Dual Financial Strategies.